Let's open God's Word. We'll look at Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36, as we continue our series through Luke's Gospel. Today, just a few verses, it's an exhortation from Jesus after he has been laying out for his people many of the things that are about to come upon them and things that will carry on throughout the church age until Christ returns. In Luke 21:34, Jesus says, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." This is God's Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would teach us today. Lord, that we would read your word, hear your word with the eager expectation that you will actually change our minds and our hearts, that you will do more than inform us, but that you will transform us and conform us into the image of your Son, that you will work out of us worldliness and unbelief and build in us greater faith and dependency on you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You know what happened in 1992? Some of you know what. Some of you don't remember 1992. I know some of you are too young, and maybe some of you were just so out of it in 1992 you don't really remember. But in 1992, Ice Cube released an album called Predator. Now, some of you who remember 1992 remember that album, Ice Cube's album Predator. And I know a lot of you, even if you don't know it was Ice Cube, and even if you don't know about the album, a lot of you will know, at least recognize, a track off of that album called Check Yourself. That's right. In that song, Ice Cube says, "Check yourself before you wreck yourself." Most of us have heard that. Many of us have said it. Many of us say it all the time. Some of us say it too much. But it originated with Ice Cube. Ice Cube is the guy that created that catchphrase that has come to mean, consider what you're about to do or what you're about to say before you do or say it, because the consequences may be unpleasant. At least that's one way to put it, right? You better check yourself. You better examine yourself. You better watch yourself before you get into trouble. It's a good word of wisdom. But Jesus said it first. That's kind of what Jesus is saying here in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. He is saying, you better watch yourself, because if you don't, you are likely to drift into real problems. In fact, here's the sermon summary for us today. We will all spiritually drift when we neglect spiritual discipline. That's it. You know it experientially, probably. I do. But the Bible teaches this very clearly as well. We all spiritually drift when we neglect spiritual discipline. And what Jesus is saying here in these verses, he is saying in light of everything that he's been laying down before it. Now, Jesus has been dropping these facts. He's been informing his disciples of the things that are about to happen and the things that will continue to happen until he returns. Right? There's going to be the destruction of the temple and the fall of Jerusalem. There's going to be increased persecution of the disciples, political turmoil, natural disasters, family division. All of this continuing on until Christ's glorious return. And as Pastor Pat mentioned in last week's sermon, the signs that will accompany his second coming. But after dropping all of that truth, after explaining to us that these are going to be some of the things that we will experience throughout this life, he then moves away from dropping just truth and informing us to a charge, to a challenge. Jesus issues this motivational word to us so that we will make the most of these days and not waste the time and wind up in trouble. In fact, the central charge that Jesus issues here is that of watchfulness. Watchfulness is the charge. To be watchful. Now, this is not unique to Jesus. In fact, the scripture is replete with exhortations for God's people to be watchful. And this primary charge is something that we want to look at today, and we'll look at it in three ways. First, we need to consider the call to watch, right? This charge itself, what does it essentially mean? But then we need to consider the need to watch. Why is it important? What happens if we don't? And thirdly, we want to consider the way to watch. How do we fundamentally do it? So first, beginning in verse 34, there is a call to watch. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Now, like I said, this is not unique to Jesus. We see this in the ministry of Christ, Matthew 16:6. Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees, right? Because that influence, that bad thinking, that bad way of being can get into our way of thinking and being and spread like a cancer or like yeast. In Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. So Jesus says this sort of a thing. He says it from time to time. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Or in Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful. Or 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Here Peter said, be sober-minded, be watchful, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Watchfulness. This is the charge. Now, before we get any further, let me just encourage you to read a book. If you like to read, or like, there might be an audiobook for this as well. But if you like to read, even if you don't like to read, read this book. It's important. It's really good. The best book besides scripture that you can read on this subject is by a man named Brian Hedges. Pastor Brian Hedges has written a few books that that I've read that I love that are very good. This one is my favorite that he has written, and it is the best treatment on this, certainly the best modern treatment on this that is available. His book is called Watchfulness. Brian Hedges, Watchfulness. Just hit up Amazon, order that book, especially during this time of quarantine and lockdown. Give yourself to this. It is a wonderful book, full of encouragement. So I'm not going to pull directly from that book here today. I just want to encourage you to read it. That way I'm not taking anything from what Brian lays down. But certainly everything that Brian says in that book is biblical and will overlap very well with what we're looking at here today. So watchfulness, what is it? How would I define it, right? Because there's a lot of definitions out there. But essentially, watchfulness is the comprehensive, careful management of our hearts, our minds, our bodies, as we cultivate faith and kill sin. That's what it is, right? It is the comprehensive and careful management of our lives, right? Heart, mind, body. That's the whole life. It's the comprehensive, careful management of our whole lives as we are cultivating faith and killing sin. So it's comprehensive. It's not just looking at one part of our existence. It's not a focus on the mind and a neglect of the body. I'm saying heart, mind, and body because God calls us to watch over our souls, right? Which is not just the spirit. The soul is the totality of who you are. We're called to watch over our whole selves because everything is connected. Your heart and your mind and your body, what impacts one oftentimes has an impact in another area. And so we need to look at the totality of our lives as we are seeking to bring the whole self in submission to the Lordship of Christ. That's the idea. So it is a comprehensive but careful management of our lives. Careful because dangers abound. There are dangers in the world. There is a devil out there seeking to devour us. There are people out there that will tempt us to go the wrong way. And in fact, even our own flesh, even if we had no outside influence on us, if we just were living in a room in the middle of nowhere all by ourselves in some sort of sensory deprivation chamber, all that that would do, would it would amplify the temptation that comes from our own hearts. So we have to be careful, because the dangers are real. And we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. So it's a comprehensive, careful management of the whole life, right? That we might learn to cultivate faith, piety, and kill sin. Now, when I say we have to cultivate faith, I'm not suggesting that faith is something that we create and or that it is something that we simply water and we can make it grow. That's not the idea. Faith is a gift from the Lord, but we can have weak faith or strong faith. We can have a lively faith or we can have a dead faith, right? And faith has a connection to piety, right? To godliness. It's a vital godliness that faith gives birth to. And so to grow in faith is to cultivate faith. And we cultivate it intentionally through the means of grace. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit as well. I'm just trying to get the basics down for us. So watchfulness is the comprehensive, careful management of our lives as we seek to cultivate faith and piety while killing sin. Right? You can't cultivate piety unless you are simultaneously putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Right? And you can't really truly repent and kill sin unless you are replacing those vices with virtues that we see in Scripture. So we've got to cultivate faith and piety while putting sin to death. It's the fundamental idea of watchfulness as I see it. That's the call to watch. But secondly, we have to consider very soberly the need to watch. Why is this important? Look again at verse 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. The need to watch is wrapped up in a word, dissipation. Do you see that? It's a good word. We don't use that. That word was used a lot back in the day. Even 19th century, the word was used a lot. Not so much these days, dissipation. What is dissipation? Dissipation is a moral and spiritual anarchy that develops in the heart, in the life of an individual, in the culture of a particular city or country. It's a kind of self-rule that leads to self-indulgence. That's why it's associated with drunkenness and gluttony, because dissipation begins by distancing ourselves from the lordship of Christ and the rule of God's law, and it is a submission of ourselves to ourselves. Dissipation is a kind of immoral indulgence that grows and intensifies. And dissipation is a real problem for all of us. It's a real problem for me. It's a real problem for you. It's a potential disaster for all of us. And this is why Jesus says it's really important, in light of everything that you hear that's coming down the road, the persecution, the temptation, the destructions, the difficulties, all of those things are coming, so you need to watch yourselves, because if you're not careful with your heart, your mind, and your body, if you're not careful with your life, you will get weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. You will be overwhelmed. And as you begin to try to cope with these problems, with these pressures, with these experiences on your own, you will wind up distancing yourself from God. This dissipation, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just spring up in our lives out of nowhere. It usually happens through a lack of gratitude and a growing presence of pride, and through a lack or a neglect of the heart. That's really the idea. All right, so dissipation happens when there is a lack of gratitude, when we stop expressing thanks as we cease the humble reception of all of God's good gifts and begin to look at life and at the world as either the makings of our own efforts or the reception of what we deserve. A lack of gratitude always begets pride. And pride begets a neglect of the heart. And I'm speaking to this specifically because in Proverbs 4, right, we're told to keep the heart, for from it flow all of the springs of life. Keep the heart with all vigilance, it says, because from it, I mean, it's the seat of your affections. It's the core of who you are. Everything comes from that. So you've got to watch it. And when we neglect keeping the heart, we begin to drift. It's the first thing to go. So what does it mean to keep the heart? Let me recommend another book. And I've recommended this book a number of times here at Redeemer. But John Flavel's book, Keeping the Heart, is the best treatment on this aspect of watchfulness that you can get. In fact, you can find it online. Just Google John Flavel, Keeping the Heart, and you can probably read it online. In fact, I know you can read it online for free. But get a copy of this. Now, what does it mean to keep the heart? Here's what John Flavel says. He says that keeping the heart is the diligent and constant use of all holy means to preserve the soul from sin and maintain its sweet and free communion with God. You see the connection to my definition of watchfulness now. Flavel says that we keep the heart, right? The seat of who we are. We protect it. We cultivate it. We guard it through the diligent and constant use of all holy means. Now, specifically, these means would be the means of grace, the reading of scripture, prayer, the fellowship of the saints or the communion of the saints, corporate worship, things like that. We use all holy means necessary to the end that we would be preserved from sin, protected from temptation, while maintaining communion with God. Right? Not just keeping our lives in moral check, but maintaining communion with God, an experiential, robust relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ that is built upon His grace. You will wind up in dissipation if you neglect your heart. You wind up neglecting your heart when you are proud. You are typically proud when you are thankless. And in a time like today, when it's easy to be frustrated at what we are missing in the restrictions that are placed upon us, it's easy for us to lose gratitude and to become self-centered and bitter. Be careful. Do not neglect your heart. Now, this is the need to watch, right? If we don't watch, we wind up being overwhelmed with these problems. And it means fundamentally, the reason this is so important is because we will be unprepared for Christ's return. If we do not watch ourselves, we will be unprepared for Christ's return, which means a couple of things. It means we will wind up dishonoring the Lord at His return. When He returns, He will find us indulging in the flesh, living for ourselves, not living for Him, or submitting to His kingdom rule. Christians, when we are thinking rightly, do not want to dishonor the Lord, especially upon His return to gather us together. So it means that, yes, we dishonor the Lord if He returns and we're not prepared. Secondly, we will be ashamed at His appearing if we are not prepared, if we're not watchful. Christ will return suddenly, right? This is the idea. And while there are certain things that are going to have to happen before He returns, no one really knows the time, and we will all probably be very surprised. But we're supposed to be ready for it through watchfulness. If we aren't, through dissipation, we will not only dishonor the Lord, we will ourselves be covered in shame. And third, we will be unprepared for Christ's return if we are not watching over ourselves. And that means that we will have essentially wasted the life that God gave us to prepare us for eternity. We will have wasted the good gifts, the body, the mind, the heart that He gave us all to know Him and to make Him known, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. This is why it's important. We need to watch ourselves so that we can honor the Lord and stand in His grace at His return, making the most of this life in preparation for the next. Again, just hear these verses. Verse 35, for it, the day of the Lord, it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. There is no escaping this. So let's be ready by being watchful. And thirdly, finally, the way to watch. Right? So the call to watch, what it means, the need to watch, why it's important. The way to watch, verse 36. Now, there's more to it than this, but this is what Jesus lays on us as primary, right? So let's let this be primary in our thinking. Verse 36 says, "But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." So the way to watch. What does it mean to watch over ourselves? What can we specifically be doing? Well, Jesus gives us two things here to keep in mind. One is stay awake, right? Don't slumber. Don't sleep. Don't allow yourself to become morally or spiritually drowsy, but make the most of these days, right? To be alert means to know your surroundings, right? To keep your eyes open and to be active, not passive, not lazy. See, this is the idea that we are not a people who dwell in darkness. We live in the light of the Lord. The path that we walk, even when it's through the valley of the shadow of death, is lit by the lamp of God's word. He dwells in light, and we are a people of light. We are the children of God who are members of a kingdom of light. So the way to watch is to stay awake, to be alert, to be active, intentional, disciplined, because we all spiritually drift when we are neglecting spiritual discipline. The second thing here is that we would stay in prayer. We stay awake and we stay in prayer. Now, the reason that prayer is so important in the life of a Christian and in this particular scenario here that Jesus is giving us and calling us to is because as we stay in prayer, prayer is essentially a plea for God's grace in our lives. It's essentially what it is, right? There are great definitions of prayer that we've shared in the past, but for now, let's just think about it like this. Prayer is a plea for God's grace that is built upon the merits of Jesus Christ and that flow from a relationship that we have with God through Jesus built upon grace. So we stay in prayer, and this forces us to maintain an awareness of our needs, right? Prayer is an examination of ourselves, our circumstances, and our friends and our families. It's an examination of all these things where we can identify real needs and then appeal to God to meet those needs. And in a day when there is temptation and trouble, in these end times when Jesus is coming back, we need to be aware of our needs, because when we're aware of our needs, it enables us to exercise greater dependence on God. I mean, to be truly dependent on God happens when you see what you lack and how needy you really are, and can therefore then cast yourself on the mercy of God for his supply. We stay in prayer. It helps us to identify our needs, depend on God, and to draw near to God in communion or fellowship. Right? Prayer is both the consequence and the cause of our communion. Think of it that way. Right? So when you're in communion with God, you want to talk to him. You want to pray with him. In fact, prayer is one of the primary means by which we maintain communion. So you want to when you're in communion, and if you begin to pray, it creates a desire for that communion. It goes in both directions. So I know some people will think like, well, I'm really just not feeling it right now. I don't want to pray, and so I don't want to be fake, so I'm not going to pray. Since I'm not really feeling it in my heart, I'm just gonna kind of just wait until I feel better about it. But in that act, you are distancing yourself from a means that God has given you that brings about change. Prayer is a means of grace. If you want your heart to change, you need to ask God to change it. If you want to maintain sweet and free communion with God, then you have to seek it through Jesus Christ in the midst of prayer. stay in prayer. This is how you watch your life. It creates an awareness for your needs and dependency on God, and it will encourage you, compel you, to draw near to God in communion. All of this is so that we will not be overwhelmed by these end times troubles. You see what he says? Jesus says, "Stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." To escape these things that are going to take place. Persecution, earthquakes, you can't escape them, can you? That's going to happen. But to escape them here means to not be overwhelmed or destroyed by them. This is why we watch ourselves, so that we experience the grace of God in full measure and are enabled to persevere without falling back, without backsliding. It's so that we may stand at His coming. Right? To stand at His coming, to stand before God in confidence, not in shame. To stand before the coming of Christ in grace, not in our works. How can we stand in confidence and in grace before the return of Jesus in the midst of His second coming? By maintaining this connection between faith and the means. By watching over ourselves. And ensuring that our hope and our confidence are not built upon ourselves, but upon Christ. You see, the reason we will spiritually drift when we neglect spiritual discipline is because spiritual discipline is the utilization of the means of grace for the glory of God to be manifested in our lives through the development of the character of Christ. These are hard days, awkward days. And when we are more isolated than ever, and not even by our own choice at this point, when we are being providentially hindered from gathering together as a church under word and sacrament, it's incredibly important that we watch ourselves, that we guard our hearts, keep our hearts, and encourage and spur one another on as long as it is still called today, so that none of us are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's easy to neglect discipline when our schedules and our circumstances go through dramatic changes. Let's not neglect God's means of grace, but instead use them in this time to draw near to Him, to experience His grace, to become more like Christ, so that when He returns, we will not be ashamed.